Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with...
Evgeny Efinevsky, director of the movie Winter on Fire, Ukrainians Fight for Freedom.
And he didn't mention, but Oscar-nominated director is what you can say now. Congrats. First of all, congrats on that.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Where were you when you found out you were nominated?
You know what? You'll not believe it. I actually landed in Europe because I was working on another project about Syrian refugees, and I flew from Amsterdam to some other place in Europe, and I just landed, and the phone started to ring, and text started to come, and it was amazing moment.
Yeah, yeah. Were you had you ever, you know, if you could go back to your childhood self and say you were going to be an Oscar nominee one day, what would he say?
You know what? Sometimes I'm thinking about that if somebody, when I was a child in Russia, was telling me that one day I will be stepping on a Hollywood and I will be doing my marks in history, you know what? Because I'm definitely doing some marks in history, you know what?
Yeah.
I will be laughing and not believing, but you know what? I guess the sky is the limit when you are a hardworking person and when you believe in yourself and putting goals in front and trying to achieve your goals, working hard to achieve your goals.
So. Yeah. Now, before, final bit on the Oscars before I want to get into the movie itself. Have you seen the other nominees that you're up in your competition? It's tough competition.
Absolutely. It is a tough competition. And I saw all of them and they're all fascinating movies. And you know what? I fall in love with the Emmy through the movie, and I kind of felt in the same situation with the Cartel Land because we both were exposed in kind of violent stuff. And you know what, Nina Simone, I was kind of blown away by this amazing personality of her, kind of bad and a good, but she's still a fascinating singer. So it was amazing. Look of Silence was kind of a sequel to the Art of Killing. Yeah. So it's all of them are fascinating movies, fascinating stories, and extraordinary filmmakers.
Is it going to be exciting to sit next to all of them? You know, out at the awards.
You might
not be sitting right next to them, but
listen. This Monday I was at the nominee luncheon where I was sitting next to Steven Spielberg and Leonardo DiCaprio and Matt Damon, and my co-producer Dan Tolmer was sitting literally next to him was sitting Lady Gaga, so it was interesting.
You and Lady Gaga, man. I mean, no, that's really cool. Yeah, Joshua Oppenheimer's coming in tomorrow to talk about Look of Silence. So you beat him to the punch on that. The guy that made the Cartel Land came in, I guess, over the summer. So we're having them all in here, all you Oscar-nominated people.
Nice,
you
know, nice.
If you come into WTOP, you get nominated, apparently.
And you know what? I just saw Joshua on Monday because we've been also at the Oscar luncheon, and then we've been together at some other interviews. We had a panel of all five of us, so I just saw him
a couple
days ago.
Awesome. Just a few minutes ago, you mentioned that you grew up in Russia, right?
Yes.
So where exactly and how?
Kazan,
you know.
The capital of Tataria, not far from Moscow.
Okay.
One of the actually oldest cities inside of Russia, because I think Kazan was just celebrating 1,000-something years old. So it's quite old.
Yeah, definitely. How did you get into filmmaking? Was it in Russia or have you?
It was in Russia because you know what? I was always dreaming about art. I've been exposed to the theater. I played in a school theater. I played in different groups theater. And then I kind of was exposed to 16mm filmmaking. I did my first documentary when I was 16 also actually. And you know what? I still remember the smell of film and the smell of chemicals when you're developing this in dark room and you're splicing and cutting the film. So it was a fascinating experience, you know what? But together with that, right now it's a digital age, and only because of digital age I've been able to kind of document all this history, because only with the help of the modern technology and the variety of different equipment, we've been able to facilitate and document all these events on a go as it was happening, and the events were happening so spontaneous and nobody was knowing what is next. Mm-hmm. And you know what, even how it started, it was so spontaneous, nobody was expecting to be beaten or kidnapped or even killed. So you know what, it's all these events were so spontaneous, and the technology helped us to achieve our goal.
Definitely. Do you remember what that first documentary was on 16mm?
It was about the club of the young guys who were doing a small planes and flying them for different competition. Their passion brought me And you know what? It was more about their passion, about their love to this. You know what? And I guess also the love to making movies and the love to kind of document the history and love to tell the fascinating stories and change the lives inspired me and brought me to Hollywood.
Awesome. Now, you mentioned how changing technology sort of sets up the whole subject of the documentary. And it made me think of that early scene when a lot of the protesters say they turned on Facebook and saw it for the first time, head down to the square, and so go into a little more into that, how social media helped fire off this whole thing.
You see, nowadays you can start revolution from social media, mm-hmm. and it's amazing that people united through social media, and then you can see the unity on a square. And it's amazing to see these kind of transitions from social media into the reality. And it's also amazing that even the previous days, the newspapers were one source of the media. These days, social media is having a huge impact on our lives.
Yeah, and you even have that nice little nugget in there where you found the little kid who goes around to help everyone charge their phones and Wi-Fi connectivity.
What? He's little, but he's not a little. I was observing through all these 93 days, amazing transition, amazing maturity of him. And you know what? And it's extraordinary character because he ran on the first day from his home and he never returned back. I met his mom on March 2014 after the all events, and he refused to go home. So at the end of the day, Romka, his fascinating character, like we can see in the Lemmy's, all these kids on top of barricades. So you know what? Like today, your review said that it's like a Lemmy's. And it is a Lemmy's in our harsh reality of our days. Yeah. And you know what? You have all these same fascinating
minus
characters.
Minus the singing. But
correct. Somebody actually said to me, and what if you did scripted movies, scripted feature? So what if somebody will offer you to do Maidan, but scripted version? I said, why we need to do that? You have already Lemmy's.
Right. This is a little bit of a different story, but yeah, that's really cool. Yeah, what does the boy say? He says, this is my school, right?
It's my school of life. Yeah. And you know what? It's horrible to just even realize that the child who's supposed to play the games, play with the toys, toy guns and all this stuff, in reality, holding the real gun and having bullets flying over him. And I saw Romka in a blood, covered by blood. I saw bullets flying towards him. I saw him in the tears, but he never, never left Maidan. He never left square. It's amazing how brave all these people. I guess, you know what? The bravery, the unity, the real patriotism, these kind of elements that made me to fall in love with these people whom I was observing as outsider, because I came from America specifically on the first days of the events. And in the same time, I was observing them and I was feeling like I obligated to document this fascinating unity, unity of old and young, unity of all social groups, unity of all social classes, nationalities, unity of all the religious groups and churches together with these people. I guess this element and their bravery, you know what, when you're seeing people covered by blood, when you're seeing people kidnapped, when you're seeing bullets really flying towards us, or you know what, we were spread with the tear gas and cold water in this cold weather, much more colder than what you have in here, trust me. So, you know, it's something that not makes people to say, you know what, I don't want to come tomorrow, I don't want to be here. No, it's never stopped them from believing what they believed and stood for what they were staying. And you know what? These fascinating elements made me to realize I am obligated to document this story. I am obligated as a filmmaker, true filmmaker in heart and soul, to bring it to entire world. Despite the bullets, despite the beating, despite that I had blood on my hand, despite that I had wounds, it's all important for the generations, important to our American generation, millennium generation, because you know what, at the end of the day, through this movie, you can go back into the centuries when our founding fathers in the United States, and I'm an American citizen, so when our founding fathers here in the United States achieved their goal, fought for our freedom, for our democracy, for our main values that we are living right now. And I guess it's some kind of reminder to our generation that lives in our days that, you know what, things can't be forgotten and things can't be taken for granted. So it's kind of also in educational. So it's not only a movie about past. It's not about a movie that events happened 2 years ago specifically. It's a movie about future of mm-hmm. our younger generation, that we are holders of our future in our hands. And you know what? The Ukrainians, specifically the youth, proved it, that they were holding their future in their hands, and they stood for that despite all this bloody mess. They stood for that, believed in that, gave their lives, because a lot of friends of mine, you know what, are lost. And I kind of feeling also responsibility to their parents to bring this movie to the entire world, because it's dedicated to them who've been there, whom I met there, whom no longer with us, who are somewhere from the sky observing and looking at us right now. And you know what? We can't forget their names. So I guess this kind of element, this movie, it can be a great reminder to our millennial generation for what our founding fathers stood for. And I guess all this related to the Canadians and to all European countries, because we all living in different society. We're all living in freedom, in democracy. And you know what? People not need to forget that these values cost and cost lives.
Yeah, you mentioned the millennial generation, and there's that, you know, great scene in the end of the movie where the woman says that we grew up in the 90s. We were part of the independent generation. You know, why do you think it was millennials that were able to do this? What's special about us?
You know what? Even looking right now at the elections, look how on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, the younger generation so excited about that, and they trying to get involved into that. Look, Bernie, how old he is, but he have a lot of younger supporters these days. And you know what? As much as I hate politics and I'm not associated with any of the parties, I can tell this openly. In the same time, for me, it's amazing to observe that our younger generation getting involved into that, because they're realizing that they're holding the key to their future. They're the key makers of the future, and they're starting to involve themselves into their future progress, into what kind of they are planning to be in the future, and they're trying to grow with this future, and they're trying to dedicate themselves to the process that brings them to this future. So it's amazing.
Take me to the beginning of the project. Did you say you were living in America and flew back over there?
I live in LA. Okay. Where is the beautiful sun?
How long were you? When did you move over here?
16 years ago.
Okay. And so take me into you know, the idea of you flying over there to cover this. Because it's a whole different experience than, you know, let's say, I don't know, a Ken Burns doing something about the Civil War or history of baseball, looking backward. That's its own art and its own skill. But how did you kind of drop in as this thing was going in?
Are you an adventurous person?
Yeah.
I am.
And I think I had you in here. That's adventurous enough, right?
Correct. But you know what? Being a filmmaker, true filmmaker who wants to change lives, who trying, you know what? I'm not thinking about my life sometimes, because for me, what is important is to change people's lives, because this is our goal. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, movie, you know what? I've been in this theater. I played and I directed stage. In the same time, I directed features. And for me, all this was important, that I can leave something after me. And some people, they're proud of their kids, and some people proud of their legacy, and some people proud that they can change the people's lives. And I guess when you're creating the movie, it's like a sculpture that you're creating in different medium for the centuries. And particularly that, you know what, there is a movies that I was exposed even in Russia, American movies like Gone with the Wind or something. You know what, and these movies are living with us for the centuries. So for me, my projects, they're living after me. And I guess, you know what, the goal is to create something that can change people's lives, can change them on a positive way, can change their perspective. And you know what, all of my movies that I did, they had something that brings people to point that they either have any food for thought, or it's really changing their lives. So I've been in LA, and one of my friends who just finished the project with me, he called me from Ukraine and he said, you know what, you need to come down. It's different than it was in 2004. 2004, they had Orange Revolution, that was a political act organized by political parties. They had a hunger strike on the same square. They had a tent. It was exactly the same November. So the dates are similar. It was just the difference 9 years before, 2004, November. So he called me and he said, it's different. It's not politicians. It's not political parties. It's just youth who came out and not allowing the politicians to come to the square. It's self-organized. It's all through the Facebook. It's completely different. Come, let's make a movie. I said, okay. I jumped into the plane. I got there. We hired two cameramen. We started to shoot it with the two camcorders. So all nice fairy tale, different, beautiful. amazing energy, amazing vibe, like a youth festival, songs, dancing, noise, all possible. Nobody was expecting to get beaten, you know what, at 4 o'clock in the morning. And nobody was expecting so much blood out, and nobody was expecting, you know what, to be hurt. And all of a sudden it's happening. All of a sudden, we are finding ourselves in all this mixture, running out of the square. You know what? We see blood, we kind of, it's all just becoming crazy. And you know what was beautiful? Miracle. Church that I learned as a Russian child, that church is something that kind of, on the side of the government, helps to control the mass. And all of a sudden, church, despite all and everything, opening the gates and allowing to the young students who are completely not God believers or going to this church specifically, shelter them. So amazing. You can call it miracle. You can call it humanity. And I guess,
the
word, you know what? And I prefer to use the word humanity because I met humanity there. And humanity was always something that blew my mind in the square. We're talking about the concerts that we had every night. Look, for example, inside of the movie, you see these fascinating shots of the girl playing piano in the middle of the revolution between protesters and the police. So we had concerts every night. And for example, in December 2013, we had a concert of one of the famous bands, Ocean Elza, when the Tituschki, the hired thugs, came to the square, cold and hungry. And the people feed them, warmed them, and all together they saw the concert.
These were the folks that were released from prison to the hired thugs?
Okay. That were enemies to the protesters. So they were, for this moment, all united. And then next day, again, enemies. It's a fascinating humanity act that I observed there. And I can, you know what, talk about all the blowing my mind elements that I saw there on and on and on and on. Because you know what? I saw this humanity act. Usually, when you are in the middle of the battle, when you in the middle of battlefield on the zone war zone, you don't have these human faces. It's just the war. It's just the blood. It's just the fire. It's the war. But here you have the human face of the war. It's amazing to observe something like this. It's amazing to observe this humanity among these people who are fighting for their future, who are fighting for their freedom. So I came, we started to film, and already after a couple of days of these events, first beating and then the March of Millions, because at the peak, we had over a million people there. It's amazing to see this unity. And it's amazing to see, again, all social groups. So I found myself that, yes, it is a history, and I need to document this history. So this is how simple guy from Los Angeles finding himself in the middle of, you know what, not just a region history. I think it's a world history. So
yeah, you mentioned the moments of humanity, like the piano and And I like, and even like the Ninja Turtle mask, you know, when they say, you know, when the government outlaws, I guess it's construction helmets, I guess. So and everyone starts
putting
the kitchen
pit. No, the government started kind of to prohibit them to wear the protective gear that was ridiculous. And at the same time, trying to make them all illegal, all the movements illegal. And you know what? There is the reaction of the people was so funny and
ironic.
The jokes and more. Yeah, it's amazing to see something like this because you know what? In a lot of times, we as Americans, if something like this was happening to us, we will be PMSing. It will be PMS.
Right.
But here you have people with the jokes, with the more, you know what? With the interesting fashion twist, having all their
kitchen pot,
absolutely, or calendars or masks. So it's interesting twist. You know what? How they can laugh on the government stuff, and it's amazing again. Spirit, it's amazing humanity. We can say, you know what, I will give you another sample. Do you remember how they stripped this Cossack in the middle of nowhere in this cold weather, in the snow? This Cossack was stripped naked when they arrested him. You remember that?
Yes.
You know what, next day, the Cossacks, like another guys like him, just jumped naked on top of barricade and started to scream. You will not take us even we are naked. So you know what? So this act of humiliation became an act of solidarity, an act of uplifting spirit. So it's amazing to observe these things. And like I said, it was my honor to being able to expose these stories and document them, preserve them to the history, share with the entire world so we can educate the future. The movie is about future. The movie is about future people and at the same time to dedicate it to the lives that are taken.
Yeah, speaking of the lives that are taken, what moment If you had to really, you know, weed through it all and pick one moment, what moment were you the most scared for your actual safety? You know, I mean,
last days.
I'm sure a lot of time you're locked in and you're trying to get the
last days when we had the snipers shooting at us. It was horrible because, you know what, I will never forget. I saw one of the priests next to us on the front lines when, first of all, it's horrible to see when somebody next to you just falling and you see blood. I'm not afraid of blood, but it's horrible when you don't know from where bullet coming, from what side. And you know what? I saw the priest with his hat when the bullet went through his hat, like less than a half inch above his head. So it was horrible when you're realizing that you're hopeless, but the only thing what you can do is to document this history until your last breathe. Until you're breathing, you need to document, you need to continue. And it's a horrible feeling, but in the same time, you know what, it's what you can do. Because for me, I guess, you know what, my passion, my love to that, and you know what, I guess you're doing this, what you do, you're loving this, you're changing lives. And you know what, that moment we were all thinking how to document this, because you know what, none of us were thinking about leave the square. We wanted to document this, you know what? And when you started to think about this moment, you know what? I'm right now even close to tears because it's emotional. And I lost friends there. I still feel responsibility to the parents because the people whom I lost were friends. And for me, this movie is a dedication to them, dedication to not only the tragedy, to the amazing human souls. You know that in the same day when most of the people were killed in the February 20s, the most biggest amount of people, souls were taken from us, but in the same time, the biggest amount of the newborn kids were born there. Mm. So you know what kind of reincarnation of the souls we can say, you know what? But it's something that's not happening every day. You know what? War happening every day. Some kind of unity you can't see every day. And I guess we, United States of America, we need to be more united. The world needs to be more united. So I guess this sample of bravery and unity, of real patriotism, that you not need to be born in this country, but you can be a patriot on your heart and a soul. Like I'm a filmmaker in my heart and a soul. I guess these acts are very important in nowadays. And it's very important to educate the new generation that grows, the new kids that are born. So it may change the world.
Yeah. And you mentioned that, you know, this story isn't just, you know, relegated to the past or 2 years ago, that in fact that past is prologue, like they say. You know, what, and so speaking of the next generation, you know, what do you see next for Ukraine? I mean, obviously in the post credits of the movie, you talk about Russia annexing Crimea, and all the other lives that have been thousands. I think it's 6,000, you say, is it?
By the spring 2015.
Wow, yeah.
Right now, even more.
What would you like to see for the future of Ukraine?
You know what? I'm hoping for them for the best. They still continue their fight. And I guess my movie was their first chapter of their fight for freedom. It was the first chapter of fight for freedom for them, mm-hmm. which they achieved, which they won. They won because of this unity. That's why it's important to bring this sample as the great idea of unity. And as the great sample for everybody, that united we strong. And we are the people who hold the power. Governments are selected representatives of us, of our will, and they're supposed to serve us. At the end of the day, we are the people, our First Amendment of Constitution of United States. We are the people. And at the end of the day, the Ukrainians proved that the people's holding the power and the key to their future. And I guess, you know what, these elements are very important to me. For me, there. Now, the Ukrainians, I still continue their fight. And right now is another chapter. For me, what happened, they achieved their goal, they won, and it was organic full stop for my story, for my first chapter. Right now, they're having second chapter, third chapter, and I just hoping that, you know what, like in every story, there is a happy end. And I'm hoping that the peace will come back to their region and things will be really good because, you know what, at the end of the day, I was born in Russia. And I am for the peace between two nations that were together. And between all these days, that the peace is not there, my heart is bleeding. My heart is bleeding because my friends still fighting. I have friends who been with me there and then went to the ATO anti-terrorist operation in Donetsk, Donbass to fight. And you know what? My heart is still bleeding for all of them. Even Romka, he never returned home and he's with one of these groups fighting there. So you know what? It's fascinating to see this bravery and this patriotism that grows from the young age. So I guess, you know what? Peace. Yeah. Peace and unity.
Yeah. Well, win, lose, or draw at the Oscars, it's a great topic regardless. I mean, it's like you said, this thing's going to live on long past any one award show or any one screening. You know, hopefully, you know, even after you and I are gone, maybe people will look back and say this, like you said, absolutely, this is the first chapter and it's documented so well. So great work and congrats.
But it's not just a chapter of Ukraine. Yeah. It's a chapter that belongs, again, to us, to Americans. It's the chapter that belongs to the Europeans. It belongs to the Arab Spring, and it proves that unity won compared to the Arab Spring when Muslim Brotherhood left the youth on the square and betrayed them. So, you know what? Again, unity proves that, you know what? It can change the history. And again, this story can be compelling to a lot of other places in the world. So it's unique and it's universal.
Definitely. Well, best of luck at the Oscars. I'll see you out there. I'm heading out to cover it backstage, so hopefully you'll come through as the winner. Although I'll probably say the same to Joshua Oppenheimer tomorrow. You know, whoever's sitting in that chair will say good luck. I got to pull for everybody equally. But no, it's a great flick, so thanks, and thanks for coming in.
Thank you.